Folks, if you've never believed a word I've ever said to you, believe this. The Spirit of God wants to work in this place. Amen. The wind of the Spirit of God wants to blow through here. But I can't do it alone. I need you. I need our church leadership. I need our staff. I need our young people. I need you with me. To submit unto the Lord and to begin to take stands. Begin to stand for who you are and who He is. Take stands. Take stands here. Take stands in your home. Leadership in our church. Guys, I ask you, to allow God's Spirit to move in you. Please. Help me in this. And then don't miss it. Don't miss the Spirit of God driving you. Don't turn away from that. You'll regret it. In his book, The God Impulse, Jack Alexander tells the story of an odd object that's in the 9/11 Museum in New York. It's a simple red bandana, just sitting there by itself, encased as a symbol of 9/11. And in his book, Wells Alexander tells of the young man Wells Crowther. Wells Crowther owned that red bandana. He was given that red bandana when he was 6 years old by his father. And at that age, he began to take that red bandana everywhere he went. When he volunteered in the Empire Hook and Ladder Company at age 16, he had it with him. When he joined his father on the police force, he always carried it with him. When he played lacrosse at Boston College, he tied it around his head and wore it under his helmet. When he took a job as an equities trader working on the 104th floor of the World Trade Center, he always brought it with him. And it was with him that day on September 11, 2001, when United Air Flight, Airline Flight 175 exploded into the South Tower, cutting a fatal swath into floors 78 through 85. Lynn Young, a young lady, was in the upper floors, and she was blown back by the explosion. Her glasses stayed on her face, but she couldn't see. They were covered in blood. When she cleared her glasses off, she could see through the smoke an outline of someone coming toward her. She was scared, didn't know what to do, But out of that smoke-filled area, a young man called to her and said, "I found the stairs. My name is Wells. Come and follow me." Wells led Lynn and others down 17 flights of steps until they found firefighters, who then escorted the group the rest of the 20 flights of stairs out of the building. But Wells didn't go with them. He went back up. He soon found Judy Wine, a lady whose arms were broken. She had cracked ribs, and one of her lungs was punctured. Wells also, as he moved through those upper floors, noticed others in various stages of incapacitation. And so Wells called out, "Everyone who can stand, stand. And if you can help others, please do so." When Wells got Judy Wine safely in the arms of waiting firemen, he didn't stop there. He went back up. He went back up again and again. And no one really knows what happened. But Wells didn't make it out of the South Tower. They found his body 6 months later, and he was lying in a group of uniformed firemen. Judy Wine, one of the ladies that Wells saved, she said, "People can live 100 years and not have the compassion and the wherewithal to do what Wells did." Lynn Young, another lady he helped, has a photograph of Wells in her apartment. She made the statement, "Without him, I wouldn't be here. He saved my life. He will always be in my heart. Always." Though Wells is gone, his bandana is not. And it's now part of the 9/11 Museum. It's a symbol of heroism and sacrifice and love. There's no question that the Bible trumpets the spirit of sacrifice as a prized possession. It's no secret that the world embraces this kind of giving and heroism. And I tell you this morning, the spirit of sacrifice is an essential mindset of the Christian life. Last week, in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, we noted that Jesus literally embodied this spirit of sacrifice. He did it in so many ways. He did it in his incarnation when he emptied himself of certain aspects of his divine right. He set those aside and willingly humbled himself on earth. He chose to live his life sacrificially so that at the crucifixion, we judged God unfit. And at that same cross, God gave his life for us despite how we felt. The life of sacrifice is essential if we are to be faithful followers, if we are to know the peace of God If we are to know the joy of the Lord, I have to live sacrificially. The renouncing of my flesh and my submitting and surrendering to God. The very first step in applying sacrificial living to your life is absolute surrender before God. In fact, point one is so important that if you try point two and three instead of absolute surrender, you will fail miserably. And right now, if your life, if your spiritual life lacks luster and joy, if there is an aliveness that you once had but now is gone, I'm telling you, go to point one. Absolute surrender. And let God breathe into you. Let the Holy Spirit produce in you the spirit of sacrifice. You live not for yourself, but for others. Absolute surrender, point one. Jesus then speaks of another factor, very important in the spirit of sacrifice. Not just absolute surrender before and unto God, but also we will produce acts of honor to others. We will produce acts of humility toward others. We will humble ourselves, not just before God, but before mankind, before others. You see, before the Apostle Paul, wrote the words that he did in verses 5 through 11 of Philippians 2, which, by the way, many have said are the most eloquent and beautiful words ever written of the Lord Jesus. Those words are these. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or taking away from God to be equal with Him, but He made Himself of no reputation. He humbled Himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And He humbled Himself again. Being found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Another way of saying that, He humbled Himself unto the Father's will. The spirit of sacrifice. Therefore, God has also highly exalted Him, given Him the name which is above every name. God is going to honor Him. But He's going to honor Him because of His heart, the spirit of sacrifice, submitting first unto God and then unto man. You see, before Paul wrote these words that I read from verse 5 following, he wrote these words in verses 3 and 4, just preceding verse 5. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. In this context, Paul is appealing for unity in the church at Philippi, i.e., all churches. And he says the way to achieve spiritual unity within the church is humility. There's not no other way. It's by humbling ourselves before one another. Folks, that is God's challenge to us. Live with this attitude. The fact is, we don't have to live selfishly. Some of us, that's the only way we've been living. And the consequences of selfishness is this. You will find God standing in your path at some point in time, putting His hand in front of you and saying no. Saying stop. Because God hates pride, which births selfishness. You don't have to live selfishly. We deny our flesh. We reject our flesh. And we submit unto the Lord who has modeled this spirit that is essential for us to be faithful followers, essential to be strong in our faith, to live with a spirit of sacrifice where we humble ourselves before God and then before others. How do we do that? How do we find the ability to say no to the strongest impulses in our life? We're shown exactly how. In verses 9 through 11 of Philippians 2, Paul writes, therefore God has highly exalted Him, given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In other words, how did Jesus live and carry out this spirit of sacrifice in His life, where He understood that He lived not for Himself, but He lived to give His life away? The spirit of sacrifice. How did Jesus do it? He did it this way. He knew the day was coming. He knew the day would come when God is going to turn this world upside down, or this upside world is going to get turned right side up. He knew that there would be a day when the Father would say, come, Son, well done. Welcome home. He knew the day would come when the Father would honor Him by giving Him the name which is above every name. That every tongue would confess. Jesus knew the day was coming when the Father would honor the sacrifice of the Son. That's how we do it. You see, folks, the world doesn't believe in the afterlife. The world thinks that life, all that we have, is in the here and now. So what they do is store up treasures on this earth that moth and rust destroy. But they don't believe there's that day to come. So they invest their lives in the flesh, achieving, attaining, and filling working so hard to gain those things that do not matter. But Jesus knew the day was coming when the Father was going to honor the Son. He was going to honor the sacrifice of the Son. And the same is true for you. God honors the spirit of sacrifice, humbling ourselves before Him and then before others. That has to be your motivation in this life. How to live, how to implement my Christian faith, how to show others, it is by serving them. That day is coming. And indeed, will be the coronation of our lives. You see, the Bible tells us that there will be a day of judgment for how we Christians have lived our lives. Not the great white throne where God judges the sheep from the goats, and they all are cast into the lake of fire. Not that judgment. The judgment seat of Christ, which will take place when we get to heaven. And there our lives, every word we've spoken, every thought we've had, every deed we've done, will be exposed by the fire of God. And the fire of God will test our lives the way we lived here. And the works either will be shown as wood, hay, and stubble. Works of the flesh, selfishness, and this world. Storing up the treasures in this world. They'll all burn. Meaningless. Poof, poof, gone. But the works we do in Jesus' name, when we choose to implement this essential quality in your spiritual life, when we choose to humble ourselves before God and then before others, and we realize we are to live this life sacrificially, it ought to be seen here in this church. It ought to be seen in your home. Submitting one to another. I want you to bow your heads with me. Father, I know both from pastoring these years and from being a man of the flesh, I know the struggle that takes place in our lives between selfishness, ego-centered, our way, and Jesus' way, where we think more highly of others than we do ourselves in lowliness of mind. God, help us to see that. Each one of us this morning, right now, help every one of us to see how selfishness is impacting us. How it's hurting us. and how the spirit of sacrifice, living for the glory of God, submitting unto Him and humbling ourselves, serving others, be a freedom for us. And we'll store up treasure after treasure in heaven, because those are works of gold, silver, and precious stones. Build that in us, Lord. And I pray the Spirit will come in conviction heavy upon us right now. And Lord, that we will surrender. We'll let go. We will choose to live sacrificially in Jesus' name. In honor of the Father, we will live sacrificially. And I pray that those who need to come to this altar, you will drive them to this altar. I pray for those who will pray in their seats, God, that you will convict and draw. And I pray that there will be a unified and holy surrender in this place right now, that the Spirit of God will ignite. So we invite you, Holy Spirit. You love this spirit of sacrifice. We invite you to come charge our hearts. Give courage to us to take stands in Jesus' name and to honor Him above all men. In Christ's name.